Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Business's Art on True Chat. We're broadcasting from Cincinnati, Ohio today. I'm your host, John Umstead. You can reach me on Twitter at John Umstead. You can find me on LinkedIn. Go out to my website, plancanvas.net. Reach me there. Any number of ways to get a hold of me. I would like to hear from you, get your feedback on the show, get ideas for next shows. If you have any guest ideas, shoot them my way. Let's start a conversation. My guest today, speaking of conversations, is Kate Briner. Kate is a three-time guest of the show now. This is the third time, right, Kate?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so a veteran on Business's Art. Welcome. Welcome back, Kate. Kate is a certified business broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors of Southwest Ohio, and we are going to be talking today about exit strategies. So welcome back to the show, Kate.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm glad you're back. So the last two times you were on, it was a very good conversation, and I think some useful information that we divvied out to people. So our numbers in terms of subscribers and listeners has been growing pretty much exponentially now every month. So we'll reach even more people this time with this show. So it's a great topic, hopefully folks will tune in and give it a listen. So let's get started, Kate, if we could, by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. Well, my name is Kate Briner, and like you said, I'm a certified business broker with Sunbelt Business Advisors, and I've been certified for about a year and a half now and joined Sunbelt the same time, and we've been around since around 2005 in the Dayton, Cincinnati, and Northern Kentucky area.
Okay. And what is Sunbelt?
We are a business brokerage and M&A firm that assists business owners in selling their business, small to medium size. So I'd say $500,000 to $15 million roughly in revenue is where we like to stay. And then we also assist business owners in exit strategy planning, which is why I'm on the call today.
All right. Good deal. You know, I was meeting with someone today who was talking about one of her clients and said, you know, they're about a $14 million business. And she asked if that, what that was considered. Is that considered a small business? And my response was, it may be kind of middle market-ish, you know, on the low end of middle market. SBA kind of defines small business as 500 employees or less, but that's a little misleading as well. So this is completely off topic, but it just happened today. So since you just mentioned this range, what would you say is a company in that $10 to $15 million range is?
I would say that's low middle market. Mm-hmm. Would be an accurate, you were right on that. That's an accurate assessment of where they'd be at.
I would just like to point out to Camden, who is our producer, that I was right on that. Just
very important to note those things when you can.
That's right. I know he's chuckling with the mute on right now. So. All right. Well, thanks for that confirmation.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
So, hey, we're going to be talking about exit strategies today. So why don't we start with a definition of that? What is an exit strategy?
Really, it's just planning your exit. It's very simple. It's putting together steps in place to be able to transfer your business. And really, the importance of that is, the truth is a business owner is going to leave their business either planned or unplanned. So we want to make sure owners have procedures in place to make sure that it's left the best way possible, whether it is through selling it or just transferring the ownership to family. Really, there are so many different ways that somebody can exit. And the worst case scenario, which we've actually seen a lot in the last, not a lot, but we've seen in the last 18 months is business owners who have actually passed away and their spouses have had to step in and take ownership of the business, which if the spouse hasn't been in the business, it can be a very challenging transition.
Right, right. And really, you know, it's really an irresponsible thing to do when you think of it, especially if you have employees, but certainly to your clients as well, because it can leave them in a lurch and they are counting on you and your business, either to put food on the table or to perhaps satisfy their own customer needs. And so it really and we might get into this, so I apologize if I'm stealing your thunder, but
it's okay.
You know, exit strategy is really, it's a lovely way to say I love you, right?
Right. Well, and to be honest, this is one of the most important things that we're talking to business owners about right now. And it's really something that we're trying to get their entire team to be talking to them about, because we don't want to see it left unplanned where it could end up in probate. Like, there are just so many ways to prevent those sorts of issues.
Right. Right. And you know, your business is like life. You know, in life, the one thing that we know is that we're going to die. You know, we all are eventually going to die. And same in business. Eventually, you are going to exit the business one way or another. Either the business is going to exit you, or you're going to exit the business. It's inevitable. So planning for it is certainly something that everyone should do. You know, I want to tell you about two clients that I had. One was a client that had a business that she started and grew into. I would say it was also in that low end of the middle market size. And it was something she had been very passionate about for 20 years, and loved her business. Her kids couldn't care less. You know, they were not inclined to go into the kind of business she was in. So when she and I first started working together, we talked about exit strategy. Not that I'm not an exit strategy consultant, but the topic came up, and her statement was, "I just figure when I die, that's it. I don't care." She eventually changed her tune, and she changed her tune actually when we had an individual come in and talk about succession planning, not just exit strategy, but succession planning. And that's when kind of the light bulbs went off for her that, hey, you know, I really shouldn't be so cavalier about this, because when I go, it's not it for a lot of people. I had another client that had a manufacturing shop, and you know, he probably was on the upper end of small business size, and probably not quite into that middle market size yet, but doing quite well. And same thing, he had kids that just absolutely had no interest in the business whatsoever. He's in his mid-50s, and he very much was thinking in terms of, I'm going to take this to a point, and then I'm going to sell it. So I want to get everything I can out of it at that point. And I know that's something that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, but I guess what I'm mainly trying to do, besides just ramble on, is point out that there are all kinds of different reasons or frames of mind when you're thinking down the road in terms of an exit. It's not a one size fits all. We all have different reasons for and different ways that we plan for it. So I'm really glad that you're here and we can talk about some of those ways.
As am I. Yes, there is a lot to cover during this chat, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, before we get into that, I want to take a little bit of a break here. Just take a moment to remind our listeners that new episodes of Business is Art are available on Tuesdays in the Eastern time zone by 6 p.m. That's Tuesdays by 6 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. Also want to talk about True Chat Show of the Week. And this week, that is The State of Us. It's our flagship and longest running program. This show brings you everything you need to know on the latest in politics, current events, tech, and economics. It's all wrapped into one easy-to-digest podcast. You've got Cam and Justin leading the way on The State of Us. So listen to this show on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays by 6 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. Well, you can listen to them anytime on demand, but that's when new shows go up. It's by 6 p.m. on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. That is The State of Us. Sorry about True Chat's mission statement real quick. True Chat will be the mortal enemy of speculation, innuendo, and stagnation. We'll champion informed opinions and fresh ideas. True Chat will prove that media can be trusted, relied on, and responsible. We won't join the media elite because we're setting a new standard. It's a higher standard. It's the True Chat standard. Now, to ensure that this show maintains the highest ethical standards, we make it easy for you to voice any concerns with today's episode by emailing ethics@truechat.org. Again, that's ethics@truechat.org. Let's turn our attention now back to the topic at hand, which is Exit Strategies. Our guest is Kate Briner. She's a certified business broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors of Southwest Ohio. Kate, so unless there's some more to talk about just in terms of what is an exit strategy, I'd like to move on down the road here a little bit. So what are some of the types of exit strategies and how do they differ from one another?
Well, so you've got the family succession plan where it's getting transferred down to a different generation. Mm-hmm. And what's one thing that we notice and that we worry about is the owners or the first generation worry that they're going to have to carry a big note for the second generation and that they're still going to have that financial burden even after they get out of the day-to-day business. So again, it's figuring out what the best way to have the owner transition out and be able to help that next generation transition ownership without leaving the owner with a huge seller note. Mm-hmm. Another way is sale to a key employee or management team. And then that is followed up with selling to a third party. And that can include strategic buyers, private equity groups, and high net worth individuals. And then finally, some businesses truly do have to close at the when the owner is ready to retire. And sometimes it's because they are a solopreneur where it truly can't go on without them. But why we want to talk about exit strategy is if we can get to a business owner early enough, if they don't want to shut the door, we can give them other options.
Okay. So I was taking a lot of notes while you were talking. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything, but I'd like to summarize. I heard at least four types of exit strategies that you just named. One is family succession. Another is management buyout. Mm-hmm. Another is to just outright sell it. And yes. Fourth is to just close it down.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Good. What do you see more of?
It's really a healthy mix, I would say. Mm-hmm. When we talk, I mean, we don't work a lot with the family transition just because we can help them in the beginning, but a lot of it is more internal and it's working with the attorneys and that sort of thing. But we had a case where a gentleman had owned a manufacturing company for a number of years. He was going to pass it down to his daughter, whose background was in hospitality. And she was more than happy to do it because mm-hmm. that's what her father wanted. But after deeper conversations, it turned out that her dream was to actually own a bed and breakfast. And her husband was a chef, so she was going to run kind of the front of it. And he was going to work in the kitchen. And that was their dream of what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And so it was really, while we're talking to business owners about what they see for the future of their business, it's making sure, oh, you want to sell it to your management team? Well, let's actually talk to your manager separately and find out, one, if they want the stress of ownership, and two, if they have the financial wherewithal to actually make that purchase. So it's really about having those deeper conversations. We understand what the owner's goals are, but they might not align with the people that they had in line. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And I've got a few questions here for you, but one, maybe kind of a comment and a question. We actually had an episode of Business is Art. The guest was Jeff Adair, and we talked specifically about management buyouts in that case. And he, you know, kind of shared some of his experience with management buyouts. And I remember him noting that there was an added level of, I don't want to say politics, but as soon as the management team expressed an interest in buying the company as opposed to waiting for the owner to say, hey, would you like to buy it? It created an immediate level of distrust. Not like, you know, everyone was eyeballing everybody, but you know what I mean? It broke a little bit of the natural trust factor that had existed between the owner and the management team prior to that. And I, if I'm recalling correctly, I think his feeling was that had they waited for the owner to approach them, that level of trust wouldn't have been damaged and the negotiation would have been a much smoother process. But their fear was, if we don't say anything now, we may never get a chance because they may put it up for sale and somebody buys it before we even knew it was for sale. Do you have any experiences or stories to share that are kind of similar?
Well, I mean, I understand both points of view because a lot of times the business is marketed confidentially and employees aren't told right away that the business has been put up for sale. And I think in that instance, it's unfortunate that the owner, that trust was broken down because in reality, so many owners don't want to talk about the exit strategy. They don't necessarily want to think about it all the time. And I'm not saying all of them, but there is that group of them that almost wake up one day and say, I can't do this anymore. I want to sell my business. Mm-hmm. And it goes out to market to find out midway through the process that there were actually employees internally that would have been interested. So I think it really goes back to the importance of that exit strategy and the employees also being aware that the owner will not be there forever. Yeah. And he has to start thinking about the exit strategy. So, I just think that's a really unfortunate situation, but we've seen it before where owners have approached management and in this particular case, there were three different managers and, you know, the one that had the financial wherewithal to actually, make the purchase was like, I absolutely do not want to be a business owner. Like I've seen what you've gone through. This is not what I want. The person with some financial abilities was like, yeah, I might be interested if the opportunity was right, if it worked out. And then the person with the least amount of financial ability was all in and ready to go and also had kind of the least amount of industry knowledge. So it really, there are so many different ways that that can go, but that's also the importance of taking that deeper dive and not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, kind of relative to it all, in Jeff's case, and I think in the example you just laid out, those to me are just shining examples of why it's important to employ the services of someone such as yourself. You know, go speak to a business broker before you've talked to anyone else, because I would imagine that that is part of your process to discover, well, what is it that they want to get out of? Is a management buyout something that's an option, you know, in their mind? It may never be. They may have never thought of it until you posed the question. But I think there's a lot of conversation and thought that needs to go into this before you ever go out and talk to anybody and say, hey, you want to buy my business? You know?
So. Absolutely. 100%. This is such a thoughtful process. And it really isn't something that you want to be kind of willy-nilly about. You want to bring, and we are huge proponents of the team approach. So figuring out where it's so important to know kind of what you're starting with. And we know really the value of a business is only as good as what someone's willing to pay for it. But doing that valuation to find out, okay, what's the market saying that the value could be? And what are kind of the key value drivers? Where do you as a business actually stand in those areas? Do you have a strong management team? Have you had good sales growth, or has it been lumpy? Like, we look at so many different areas of the business to get a baseline. And then we say, and I know I've jumped a little ahead, I think, but, and then we say, okay, now let's take this number to a tax specialist and find out kind of what your good, better, best numbers are going to be that you could actually walk away with after a tax analysis is done. And then we talk to your wealth manager and say, okay, is this going to fund the next phase of my life? And if it's not, then it's okay. You know, I'm 3 years from when I really wanted to exit. I have time to actually get that number to where I need it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it's so important, because not the worst case, but one instance is the business owner just doesn't have it in him to go another day, is just worn out, can't continue to do the sales that he was doing. And so the value of the business is going to start to drop. But in reality, the value of the business isn't going to fund his retirement. So now mm-hmm. what's this business owner going to do?
Right. Right. There's a few things I'd like to backtrack on. One is just kind of a silly comment. We seem to use the term willy-nilly on the show a lot. I don't know why.
I don't know the last time I said that, but it just felt like the appropriate place to use it.
We had three. There were three of us one time on the show, and each of us separately, individually, used the word willy-nilly, or phrase willy-nilly. And I think I should just make it a rule. Every show, that's a challenge. Every show should have, maybe we'll make it a contest. Our listeners tell us at what point we used willy-nilly for the first time in the show. And I don't know, we'll send them a free subscription to Plan Canvas or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I was going to, right before you said willy-nilly, I was going to say laissez-faire, because Camden and I did a show together recently, and we talked about leadership styles that work, and one of the styles was laissez-faire. And I was about to say, this is not a time to be a laissez-faire leader when you're considering your exit strategy. So you've got to be much more thoughtful and proactive.
Yes, that is very true.
I do want to go back also. I'm jumping way back here, so I want to come back around, because you were starting to talk a little bit about process, but mm-hmm. I want to jump back to the types of exit strategies. One of them was close down the business. And the point I just wanted to make, and then kind of ask you to expand on if there's anything else to say about it, is even in terms of when you're closing, just closing down a business, there may be something to sell, right? There may be assets to sell, sure. Or perhaps there is a book of business to sell, even though you aren't selling the business per se. In other instances, that it is just closing it down, everything lock, stock, and barrel, it's done. Do you have anything to expand on with regard to that?
Not much. I mean, you said it. There are, especially with manufacturing companies, you're going to have equipment that you're going to be able to sell, mm-hmm. And you're also going to have, usually a client list, and depending, it really depends on what state your business is in, how valuable that's worth too. So there are people that we use that do equipment appraisals, and that's in some cases, you know, how we determine what the best approach is going to be for us. If the real estate and the equipment is worth more than the actual cash flow of the business. Like, there are just different things that we analyze, and then that gives us a better idea of how we're going to market the business when we sell it. But I was talking to a gentleman last week who, unfortunately, he's a business consultant, and he was helping kind of a business owner shut down his business, and it was mm-hmm. painful. It was a third generation business, and they just were not able to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can be very painful. It actually ties to another question I was going to ask. So I'm just going to put a note here to come back to it. But while we were on the equipment, the question just kind of popped into my mind. It's kind of dangerous at times, but let's say I'm starting a business. Let's say I'm starting a brewery. So brewing equipment is very expensive stuff. Mm-hmm. If I'm just starting out, I might not have the funds to buy all new stuff. So maybe I'm looking for some used equipment to start my craft brewery. Do you work with clients that are in that kind of mode because you're out there and you know businesses that are coming to closure and might have some equipment to sell? Does that ever happen purposefully or as a byproduct, or is it something that you would just steer them somewhere else?
We would typically just steer them someplace else in that instance, because we don't work a lot with businesses that are just closing. Mm-hmm. We would tend to also steer them in a different direction as mm-hmm. well.
Okay.
But again, that goes back to if we can get in front of them early enough, if their goal is not to close down, then hopefully mm-hmm. we'll be able to get them to a point where they'll actually be able to sell or transfer to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. So back to the question that I made a note to ask you, you'd mentioned an experience that was pretty painful, a third generation business that just couldn't make it any longer. Of the four types of exits, are any of them in your experience more stressful than the others? Maybe it's not a fair question. Maybe there's no answer, but do you find any of those four types to be a little more stressful than others? Or are they all pretty much, you know, one-offs?
I think they're all stressful because mm-hmm. it really, every bit of business owner is different. Every buyer is different. Every family member is different. So there are all these different personalities working together. And a lot of times while an owner might be ready to transfer, it still can be a scary process for them because they're about to go out kind of into the unknown. And you've also got people that are looking invasively into your business. So mm-hmm. I think it doesn't matter what the transition is. It's going to be scary and mm-hmm. painful. But that's part of what we're there to help alleviate. We're trying to take that emotion out of it, which is instead of having them talking to each other, we are the intermediaries so that it doesn't we try and take away the feelings a little bit. And for us, while we understand the feelings and we're empathetic to that, we can present the facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's come back to, you were talking a little bit about the process, but I guess before we come back to that, is there anything else that you'd like to add in terms of the difference or the different types of exits?
No, I feel like we pretty much covered them.
We didn't cover it willy-nilly. We were pretty methodical about it.
Yes, we were. And it's we could go, all four of those could have mm-hmm. their own separate podcast. I mean, we could definitely go off on tangents. So yeah. I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah, yeah.
Avoid that, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, we had an entire podcast on a management buyout or on the mm-hmm. topic of management buyout. So yeah, we could go on for a long time on each of these. So let's get back then. You were beginning to talk about the process that you go through. So and what I mean by that is when you were talking about, you know, doing the valuation of the company or the business, getting a baseline established and those sorts of things. You also mentioned taking some of that information out to your tax accountant, which leads to a larger question. If you are working on an exit strategy, who should your team be? In addition to, we've already named the business broker, the tax accountant, who else would a business owner want on their team?
You want your business attorney and also your wealth manager. Are okay. To begin with the four, but I mean, you can really And it's good if they're all, if you get at least one meeting with everybody in the same room so that everybody is kind of on the same page instead of it being like a game of telephone where you're hoping that all the information is being passed on to the other group as well.
How about from the other direction? If an individual is looking to acquire a company or business that the owner is exiting from, who should be on their team?
Same individuals. You're the attorney, and you want to, for both, not so much in the beginning of the exit strategy with the owner, but when it comes time for the sale, you want your an attorney who has experience with business transactions. That is really important. We've had, you don't necessarily want to have an attorney who has to look up things from their law books to make sure that.
I heard about this somewhere.
An employment lawyer might not be the best, great attorney in their space, but might not be the best for this particular instance. So an attorney that specializes in business transactions, an accountant, and your wealth manager. And especially the accountant and the attorney will be able to help you through due diligence. And depending on the size and the scope of the business, we recently had somebody actually hire a team to do the due diligence because the individual business owner that is buying another business didn't have the time to do the due diligence. So they hired it out to somebody.
Got you. Okay. All right. So let's continue on the process then. So we've got the valuation, we've got our team together, we've got a baseline. What comes next?
So you also want to have an appraisal of your equipment done and a real estate appraisal, because in a lot of cases, real estate still hasn't come up completely from where it was pre-recession. So you want to have a good idea of what the value of that is going to be. And then we, after the valuation's done, it's really, okay, you've got some options now. Do you want to exit now? Do you want to put another few years in? What is your goal? And if they want to exit now and their wealth manager tells them that based on the analysis that's been done, that will get them through retirement, then we go to confidentially market the business. If that's not the case and their wealth manager says this isn't going to be enough or it's not the number that the owner had in mind, then we look at, okay, so where are the weak points in the business? Because so much of how the business is valued is going to be based on the multiple of sellers' discretionary earnings. And so that is EBITDA plus one owner salary and any one-time expenses or owner benefits. And that's getting a little trickier these days because the owner benefits, what used to be kind of an automatic add back, were a personal cell phone and a car and those sorts of things. Well, banks are not allowing those as add backs as often anymore. So because they expect every business owner to run their car through their business and they expect every business owner to run their cell phone through the business. So it's really talking to your accountant about biting the bullet in some cases and paying the taxes for a certain amount of time. And I know that is painful for business owners. They don't want to do it. And we completely understand, but it plays a really big role in what that valuation is going to be. If you have a lot of personal expenses that a bank might not let you add back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at the multiple. So then average nationally is about a 2.4. So 2.4 times that seller's discretionary earnings. And then it's figuring out how do we get that multiple bumped up. So they're developing your management team, developing a better sales process, and really trying to not only grow that top line revenue, but also putting processes and procedures in place and doing other things that can bump up that multiple. If all of the knowledge of the business is in the owner's head, that doesn't make the business very transferable to a new owner. So making sure that things are being documented, that he's really, he or she, I think I keep saying he a lot, but he or she keeps delegating. And delegating is a teachable skill. Mm-hmm. So that is critically important for owners to start doing, is delegating to their management team and trusting that they're going to do a good job and not just taking something back if there's a little bump in the road.
Okay.
And then strategic planning. The more transferable the business is, the higher that multiple is going to be. And then hopefully we get it to that number where everybody's comfortable with it. And then we go to the confidentially marketing it.
Mm-hmm. So again, I've got a few questions here, and we're running a little bit long, but I think these are good questions to get out. So one is just to kind of recap, national average is hanging around 2.4 times the seller's discretionary earnings. Mm-hmm. It's not a rule of thumb, but if you get someone to 2.4, you're feeling pretty good. That doesn't necessarily mean, hey, we're done. There's always opportunity to improve. And I guess the point I really wanted to make here on this is that when you are putting together an exit strategy, it's not only about figuring out a price to sell your company and how you're going to get out. There's also a very big component of, hey, how do we just make it better?
Right. Absolutely. Because then we also want to make it marketable. Like, mm-hmm. if you've got a business where all of the knowledge is in the owner's head, a buyer is not going to be very comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
So having it look more attractive to a buyer. And we've had, going back to the multiple, now that varies widely, across different industries. And really, I mean, yes, if we can get a 2.4 in some industries, that's great. In the manufacturing, we're hopeful that we can get those higher multiples, but higher, we're talking about a 5.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are saying, oh, you can get a 10 times multiple. And that is just not mm-hmm. realistic.
Yeah.
For the size companies that we're working with.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of experience with mergers and acquisitions at a corporate level. So not buying individual companies and just leaving them standalone, but more, you know, buying them and merging them into the mothership. And I'm used to kind of a multiple of EBITDA. And I completely agree. I've never seen anything approaching 10. I think the highest I saw one time was 8, and that was
mm-hmm.
That was in the early 2000s, and that was pretty high at the time. It paid off, but a lot of it though, and this actually leads to another question. A lot of that particular acquisition was very subjective. You could objectively look at how it had performed over the years. But just the nature of its work was mostly contract-based. Most of the contracts were a one-year base with multiple one-year options that the clients could pick up or let go at their discretion. So there's no guarantee, so there was a lot of subjectivity to that. And I kind of wondered from your perspective, you know, from an outsider looking in, when you're doing that valuation, trying to get to that 2.4 or better, I imagine there are some things that the outsider would say, how in the world did you ever come up with that? There's no way to objectively make that statement. But I would imagine just through your training experience and methods that you can objectify quite a bit that might look subjective to the rest of us. Is that true?
Yeah. And for us, everything has to be provable. So we look at past tax returns, but we're also looking at, okay, do we have customer concentration issues? Are there issues with contracts? Are those contracts transferable? So that all plays into how the value of the business comes about. We're not just strictly looking at the numbers, because the numbers don't tell a complete story on a business at all. So really making sure that we have the full picture of the business. And it's not just the customer concentration. Do they have vendor concentration? Because what if one of their vendors goes out of business? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to their supply? So it really is taking a hard look at all of those areas to make sure that it's a well-rounded company.
Yeah.
And that multiple show whether it is or it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to look at. And again, it's best to involve business brokers, because you can look at things without the emotional attachment that the mm-hmm. owner is looking at it. And because it gets pretty hard, you know, when you are looking at your own thing, and it means a lot more to you than it means to anybody else. Right. So,
and that's, well, and another thing we do is we model out, we've got a model where we can put in, so say a seller said, I have to have this $5 million. Mm-hmm. We can show them in a model where that's not going to cash flow. Uh-huh. A bank isn't going to lend to it. And a buyer's going to see that they're not going to get a good enough return on their investment. So mm-hmm. we can, again, go back and take the emotion out of it. And while it is still very emotional, say black and white, like, this isn't a feasible number. And that's a big component to what we do. Because even if a lot of things look great, if the cash flow is not there, then unfortunately the price can't be there either. And so that's why it's also important to really continue to try and build that top line number as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Another question here for you, and then we're going to have to start wrapping up because we're bumping up against 45 minutes. Time flies.
Yes, it does.
But in terms of frequency of putting or of keeping your exit strategy up to date. So, like, if I have a strategic plan for my business and I have a business plan, I should be keeping those up to date. Those are living, breathing documents. They don't have a defined start and end date. Whereas an exit strategy may, if I have waited until I'm ready to exit to create an exit strategy, it definitely has a termination date. But let's say I'm looking ahead. I'm looking 5-10 years down the line. I just want to start planning now. I'm putting my exit strategy together. Mm-hmm. How frequently should I be going back to it, going back to you, going back to my other team members and updating that plan or that strategy?
I would say if you're that far out, 6 months to a year, because we agree that your exit strategy is also a living, breathing document. So as changes are made to your business, you also want to be updating your exit strategy to reflect those changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would say 6 months to a year is probably, and it really depends on what kind of changes are being made within your company. But I think it's Clay Mateel that says, you know, when you're starting your business, you should also have your exit strategy in mind. So don't just wait and don't wait till the end. Think about the day that you start thinking about starting your business. Think about how you want to be exiting it as well.
That kind of, it's kind of funny because that is very parallel to some advice that our guest gave last week. Ray Gooch was on, and we were talking about what it takes to attract top talent. And actually, we were talking about the candidates from the candidate's perspective when I asked when should they start thinking about career development and that next move. And his response was the day that they start the new role, they should be thinking about the next one.
Absolutely.
So very similar advice. All right, so we're gonna, like I said, we're gonna have to start wrapping up here. Any final advice that or thoughts that you have to offer to either business owners and entrepreneurs that are looking to get out, or for on the other hand, those that are perhaps looking to buy a company, or even those that are looking to head down the same career path that you are on?
Well, for business owners and entrepreneurs, it's obviously start thinking about your exit strategy, whether you're just starting out or you're thinking about 3 to 5, 5 to 10 years out. As for buyers, really think about what your skill sets are. Something that you might have always thought you wanted to do, your skill sets might actually transfer better into a different industry. So be open-minded when you're thinking about what path you want to go down. And as for people with an interest in our field, come talk to us. We would love to build our team. So we've got a great, Sunbelt is a great company to be associated with. We have over 200 Sunbelts worldwide. We're a franchise, and it's just a great group of people that we have working on our team right now.
Good. All right. Well, speaking of Sunbelt, where can people find you or any cause that you'd like to mention while we're on the air?
Well, you can email us at Dayton@sunbeltnetwork.com or Cincinnati@sunbeltnetwork.com. Our website is www.sunbeltnetwork.com/Dayton-Ohio or Cincinnati-OH. I'm sorry, it's not Ohio, it's just the OH. And yeah. And then feel free to call me at 937-903-7554. And causes that are important to us, there are a lot. But we are heavily involved with JDRF, and that's Centerville Noon Optimists. There are just really a lot of great organizations that we're a part of.
Good. I love to hear that. Love working with businesses that are out also thinking about how they give back to the community, society, the world at large. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for having me on. It is always a pleasure to be on your show.
Yes, thank you very much. Come back anytime. So, folks, we've been talking with Kate Briner. She's a certified business broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors of Southwest Ohio. We've been talking about exit strategies today. So, if you haven't already, make sure you download TrueChat's mobile app. You can connect with us on social media right in the app itself, or visit our website, truechat.org. That's TRUECHAT.org. Again, that's truechat.org. TrueChat's network offers a great lineup of shows on sports and politics, pop culture, entertainment, business, lifestyle, and more. So make sure you explore what our network has to offer, because there's quite a bit out there. For Business is Art on TrueChat, broadcasting from Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm your host, John Umstead. And again, my guest today has been Kate Briner. Kate, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, and thank you all very much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Business is Art. Be the change.